One of the joys of being a parent is watching your children grow up to become parents themselves. Now, I could joke about the joys of watching them get some of their own medicine, but no. It's really a joy to see how wonderful they are as parents. Your children will always be your children, but they don't remain little. They grow up, and with any grace, they become amazing parents themselves. Well, so does the child in the manger grow up. The downside for those who only come to church on Christmas is that they never let the Christ child grow up and become anything other than the cute little baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. True, he's still the Lord of the universe, laying there in the manger, but they will never know him as he wants to be known. They'll never know him as anything other than a baby that they come and visit once a year. But Jesus has come to be so much more than that, for he's come to be, as Isaiah writes, a child who grows up and is called Everlasting Father. Well, that creates a little bit of confusion. Jesus, Everlasting Father. I thought Jesus was the Son, the away in the manger one, and the Father was the Father. After all, wasn't it the Father's voice that boomed from the cloud, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." Well, first off, no, the scriptures are not contradicting themselves. The Father is the Father, and the Son is the Son, and for that matter, the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. And it's not about Jesus not really dying on the cross, but escaping somehow and afterwards hooking up with Mary Magdalene and having kids of their own. No, Isaiah wants us to reflect on the fact that this child, this baby in a manger, will not remain a child, but will grow up to be a father in his own right, a begetter of children, but not because he's in some ridiculously concocted relationship. No, he's called to be the father of all who are born again, all who are born of water and the Spirit. Without Jesus, away in a manger, without his death paying for our sins, without his resurrection, there would be no children of God. All people of all time would still not only be hostage to sin and death, in our own heart of hearts, we would be in league still with the evil one and at enmity toward God. And so, in this sense, Jesus is a father to all who believe. He's the bridegroom. The church is his bride. And we are children born of water and of the Spirit from the womb of the baptismal font. But Isaiah adds another word to father, the word everlasting. Everlasting Father. Fathering children is easy. Maybe a case could be made for it being way too easy. But there's much more to being a father than a resulting pregnancy. Not to take anything away from the incredibly taxing work it takes to be a good mom, but it's hard work being a good father as well. Unfortunately, for too many, making a baby is their only act of fatherhood they involve themselves in. And these so-called fathers abandon their children. But not this father, this everlasting father. As the everlasting father, he's ever there for us. Jesus doesn't just give us life and then leave us to fend for ourselves. He's the Father who's there for us in an everlasting way, quite unlike the stuff of this life. Most stuff in this life, maybe all stuff in this life, is not everlasting. It's more never-lasting. From built-in obsolescence of your computer and your car and whatever else, to things just wearing out, from those lifeless, never-ready batteries to failing health, the highs of this life never last long enough, and the lows only grow deeper. The thrills demand more, and the same old grows ever more boring. Everything is never-lasting. but not the care and the keeping of this everlasting Father. Without taking anything away from the care and keeping work of God the Father, Jesus, as our everlasting Father, never ceases to guard and care for us. He never ceases to supply us with all that we need, both physically and spiritually, and if not in this life, because death must come, certainly in the life of the world to come. Now, us fathers can be good fathers, conscientious fathers, compassionate, caring fathers, loving, grace-filled fathers, but no father can be an everlasting father because we all must leave our children behind at some point in time. Death, the death of one or the other, is inevitable. But not this father, not this one who is called everlasting father. Yes, he will die. And death is that which brings about the ultimate separation, the destroyer of everything that is called everlasting. But by his death, he redeems us. He delivers his own life as a ransom for us. He undoes what Adam did. By his life and death, he substituted himself in our place and pays what we owe. By his death, he redeems us, and by his resurrection, proves himself victorious over sin, death, Satan, and his minions. Why, in this life, one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his great love for us. God shows his great love for you, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And risen from the dead, never to die again, Jesus is what Isaiah declared him to be, our everlasting Father. But then, he can't be an everlasting Father if his children forever die. So it follows that if Jesus is the everlasting Father, his children must be everlasting children as well. And if there's an everlasting father and everlasting children, there needs to be an everlasting kingdom, a kingdom far surpassing the chaotic, never-lasting kingdoms of this world. The disaster of this world, so broke it can't be fixed, needs to fade away. And it will. And of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of his father, on the throne of David, and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And in fact, he has already done this for you. He's given you life in the delivery room of the baptismal font. He's comforted your spirit with the words, I forgive you. And he feeds you with nothing less than his everlasting self under bread and wine in his holy supper. What a comfort that is, to know he is wonderful, counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What a comfort it is to know that we are everlasting beloved, and that with him, death is never lasting. He's the one who came from eternity and into time as a tiny baby who was once away in a manger. But he will come again to take you, his everlasting child, for whom he died and rose again, take you through this time and into eternity forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. In the name of Jesus, amen.